She ditched the drama, moved to Mexico, and fell in love with herself. Aneta Walklaw is here to spill the tea on toxic exes, self-love, and why dating yourself is the ultimate glow-up. Quick heads up, friends. I partnered with Paul Bauer from the Come On Man podcast, and he's got four killer resources that can seriously up your dating game, from building confidence to mastering conversations to the dead bedroom syndrome. It's all stuff I stand behind. And yes, I get a small commission if you grab one. You're not just supporting yourself, you're supporting the show too. Win-win, right? Check the links in the show notes. Now on to the show. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Dating with Anonymous Andrew. And I am really excited tonight because I have all the way from Mexico City. I have Aneta Walklaw. And Aneta is an author and she wrote a book called Blooming with Self-Love. And she's also a podcast host. And her podcast is called Nourish Inside Out. Welcome to the show, Aneta.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Great. And thanks for coming on. So I'd like to throw it right back at you. Tell us a little bit about your story. Let's say how you first wrote the book. What inspired you to write the book? What inspired you to start the podcast? Like I just told you my story. So tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, so my story, it doesn't actually go straight into writing or podcasting. I'm from Chicago originally, and I loved working and living there. And I was working as a hairstylist at the hair salon. I did that for about 4 or 5 years, and I truly enjoyed it. But there were so many things that I was lacking within myself. I was lacking fulfillment in myself. I was lacking emotional stability and how to control my emotions. And I was also in a really unhealthy relationship while I was living there. So I felt like I was constantly going to work to numb out the pain and to not think about the issues that I was having at home with my partner. And it came to a point in time where I was 21 years old and we ended up getting married thinking that was going to be the band-aid to fix all of our issues. But a year and a half later, after getting married, we realized it didn't help anything. And when I was 23, I decided that we were going to go our own ways and file for divorce. And we did that. And then I just really was searching for deeper healing to heal those wounds. And I decided I was going to move to another country and to start writing and to start podcasting. Because at the end of the day, all I really want to do is share the education with others that I once needed during those challenging times. I think one of the most important things for me when I was a hairstylist was that I loved educating my clients, whether it was how to wash your hair, how to style it, product knowledge, anything. I loved educating, but I was limited to how many clients I could take a day. So through writing my first book, Blooming with Self-Love, and starting my podcast, it's given me the opportunity to share my knowledge with more people.
Okay, so how many years ago was that?
Since I left my ex-partner.
Or when you moved to Mexico, or both?
Yeah.
What kind of timeline?
So I moved to Mexico like 11 months ago.
Oh, so this is fairly recent.
Yes, it's I moved last May. So almost a year ago.
Okay. And your divorce was final when?
2023. So I stayed in Chicago for about a couple more months. I'd say like a year and a half after I decided I was going to leave. But there was just so many wounds and so much hurt there and so many distractions that I couldn't heal. You know, family, friends, go out here, go out there, work. There's too many distractions. So what attracted me to moving abroad was going somewhere where nobody knows me so I can start a new life.
And I only wish I could have done that. Unfortunately, I'm planted here outside of New York City. I have children and adult men and grandchildren. So for me, I do intend on moving someday soon, like in a couple of years. But over the years, every time my life fell apart, either through the alcoholism or toxic or bad ending relationships. I wanted to get out. But that would be like, for me, I would be just running, because if I go to another city or another country, I'm taking me with me. And the problem was me. So I'm just talking about myself. I know. So we're going to get into how I'd like to, well, let's get into it. How, when you moved to Mexico City, how did you begin to heal? And you, one of your specialties that's in your bio is learning how to toxic relationships impact your self-worth and moving on from them. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest issues that I had was I didn't have the best self-image to begin with before I got into this relationship. So the partner that I was with at the time, he saw that. He saw that I wasn't confident in a lot of areas of my life. I didn't present myself in the way that a mature person would. So it was an advantage for him to be able to break me down. And I say that because there was a lot of gaslighting, a lot of manipulation, a lot of love bombing. And my biggest advice for people who are in those kinds of situations, don't get into a relationship unless you're comfortable with who you are. Because there's a difference when you ask somebody, hey, do you like this shirt? And then it comes from two perspectives. You're looking for validation from them, or you're just looking for an opinion. Because when you start looking for validation in other people, that's when they see that you don't have a lot of confidence behind your choices. So I always recommend you have to be comfortable with who you are before being responsible for another relationship or another person.
Well, that's basically what happened to me. To my audience, I apologize, but I may have new listeners, but this podcast started because of a relationship just like yours, where I had vulnerabilities and I had weaknesses and I didn't have self-worth. And I think she saw that and took advantage of it, because some of the things that the week that we parted ways, there was still some communication through texting and social media. And she said some things that she knew would hurt me. I don't find you attractive. I don't think you're, because when she first met me, I was the most handsome gringo in the world. So, which I was like, get your glasses fixed. But she used that against me and it worked. Because and by the way, we did a no contact breakup, which I'd like to talk to you about a little bit. So when you break up, there should be, in my opinion, no contact. You just go your separate ways and that's it. Of course, unless there's shared property and shared or children or pets or something, that's different. But if there's nothing common ground, right, you'd go your own way. And I did that, but I carried her final words with me for months and months and months. That I wasn't worthy of love, that I wasn't a handsome man, and that I'll never find anybody as beautiful as her again. And not only did I think that, but she told me that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, so I'm just relating to what you've, many people go through when they finally end or leave a toxic relationship.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one, because a lot of times people don't understand how far emotional abuse can go. Because it's not something that you can see in the physical. And just because you can't see it in the physical doesn't mean it's not going to leave damage in the long term. I mean, I experienced very similar things of my ex-husband telling me, you're never going to find somebody better than me. You really think you're going to make it? And he would always laugh at me and make fun of me and tell me I'm not going to find somebody better. And those are all lies.
You start to believe what they tell you. At least I did. Did you, when he said to you, you're never going to find somebody as good as me, or whatever the words he used, did you believe that for a while?
I believed it for about 3 years.
There you go. Okay. So how did you unravel that? How did you because I stopped dating. I was a codependent. I was, because prior to that relationship, I was in another relationship with only 1 month in between. Mm-hmm. And that was my MO. I would go from relationship to relationship with like maybe 1 month, and I would get right back on the dating apps, find somebody else, and I didn't have to deal with the grief. So if the last girlfriend told me I was ugly, I'd find a new girlfriend that told me I was handsome, and I didn't care. But this last one, It was just repeating the same patterns and behaviors over and over again, expecting different results. And we know that's insanity, right? Yes. And so starting this podcast and, of course, using my support group, my AA support group and other support tools, I have therapy and blah, blah, I started to build myself back up. How did you start to build yourself back up?
I learned to ignore his comments and I started to enjoy my own presence. I know it's easier said than done, but I really had to take a step back and reevaluate, is this person really adding value to my life or not? And he was sucking the life out of me. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like what I was doing. I didn't like where we lived. I think for a whole year, I cried because I didn't want to be in Chicago because of how cold it is. And I just wanted to move somewhere warm. And he would always combat that. And we would always bump heads. So I stopped, I think like the last 6 to 7 months, I stopped taking things personal and I just started to focus on myself. I started to practice positive affirmations by telling myself kind things, telling myself I love myself. Why am I sitting next to this person who tells me he hates me and I'm telling him I love him, but I can't tell myself that I love myself? It really starts with the conversation that you're having with yourself. And once you can learn to rewire those thoughts, it changes the whole game.
Have you ever read the book called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer?
I have not.
Okay. It's a fantastic book. Just briefly, it's a book about how to deal with the thoughts that you have in our head. So all of us have that voice in our head. So as if you're driving down the road or you're shopping and you say to yourself, oh, I forgot to call Mary, or I forgot to call Joe, or I left the lights on. You know, these thoughts you have in your head. But some those are just benign thoughts. Some of the thoughts that come into your head are the ones that the exes tell us. You walk down the aisle, you see a reflection in yourself and maybe something in a produce section. I don't know, whatever you just see. And then all of a sudden you hear that voice from your ex-partner saying you're not good looking or you're never going to be good enough for somebody else, whatever they tell you. And this book teaches you how to recognize those thoughts, but then let them go like the wind, like a leaf in the wind. Like the leaf is the thought, and then the wind comes along, blows it away. It's a phenomenal book. I recommend you reading it. So take us up to, so you move from Chicago, you go to Mexico City, and you're still in that, you haven't built your confidence up yet, but you managed to write a book. Let's talk about your book. You wrote that down in Mexico City?
Yes.
Okay. Want to talk about it? What's it about and what inspired you to write it?
Yeah, so that goes back to what I started to do to rewire my mind. It's a positive affirmations and gratitude journaling book because I'm a firm believer you are what you tell yourself you are. You know, you can tell yourself good things or you can tell yourself bad things. Whatever you tell yourself is what is going to reflect on the outside. So I wrote it when I moved here and I really just honed in for 2 months. I really didn't have friends here. I didn't really know the areas that much. So I just sat at the place I was staying at and I just wrote it until it was ready to publish. And then I published it 2 months later. And then I really wanted to take it to the next steps. And I've always wanted to create my own podcast. And I felt like that was my calling for the next steps on the healing journey, because it starts with the voice, that voice in your mind, exactly like you were saying, and learning how to control the unconscious thoughts as well. I think it takes 3 positive thoughts to cancel out 1 negative. So that's also why I made the book on the repetition of getting used to affirmations, getting used to writing them down, and mainly getting used to writing down what you're thankful for, because gratitude goes such a long way.
I was told the same thing, make a gratitude list. And that was difficult for me. Because in the moment of your despise, when you're going through these emotional battles in your head, or you're listening to, difficult to sit down and write what you're grateful for. But we take for granted simple things in life. I'm still living in the place that this happened 3 years ago, but I live by the beach. I have a very nice middle-class home. I have everything that I need. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but you know, those are things to be grateful for, because there's a lot of people who don't have that, you know, or just the fact that I have a job, the fact that I have children, that I have grandchildren. But when you're in it, those beautiful things, you don't think of them at the time because you're poor. And I'll talk about me. Poor me. It was about poor Andrew. Poor Andrew. I'm a victim. And you got to get out of that victim mentality. What I was taught to do was take little note sticky pads and write positive things on them and stick them around the house. So, for example, I would write, "You are a beautiful person," or "You are a good person," or "God loves you." I have a note in the bathroom that says, "Take the day off. I'll drive today. Love, God." And I'm not religious, but it doesn't matter. I have a higher power and I choose to call him God, or just anything. And you stick them on the refrigerator, you stick them on the computer, you stick them in the bathroom. And after seeing them for months and months and months, you start to believe the notes that you leave yourself. And that's something that helped me.
That's exactly what I did for years before.
Yeah.
You know,
it's great.
Something that you don't have to do this, but I got like a whiteboard marker and started writing positive affirmations on my mirror. And that's what
perfect
I do, because it's really what you see is what you're gonna start to program your subconscious mind. So I really love that tip. It's great.
So tell us about the podcast. What kind of topics do you cover? Is it a solo podcast? Do you have guests on?
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I have an episode that I release every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and it's always with a new guest. And we really dive into the topics of learning to find fulfillment within yourself instead of searching for fulfillment from people, places, and things. Something that I really had to learn from my divorce is that you are responsible for your happiness and nobody is responsible for your happiness. So somebody can add to your happiness, but they are not responsible to make you happy. It's up to you. And that's what I've really been focusing on with my podcast, is learning how to nourish yourself from the inside out. Go take yourself on your favorite coffee shop. Go take yourself out on a bike ride if you enjoy that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Do the things that make you happy so you can show up to be your best self for others. Because if you can't show up as your best self for others, how can you expect them to know what's going on with you, or how can you expect them to pick you up when you don't know?
Exactly. The summer after the breakup, and we would go to the beach every weekend. Again, I live 8 blocks from the beach, and it's my happy place. It's my meditation place, and I'm a sun worshiper. And the next following year, I was single. And I said, I can't go to the beach by myself. I would feel funny. I would talk about it on here. I would talk about it with my sponsor, my friends, and therapists. And they say, why not? Why can't you go? You take a chair, a blanket, you go down to the beach, you bring a book, or you bring your podcast, or listen, whatever, your iPhone. And it took me almost half the summer to force myself to do that. And once I did that, I realized, wow, I can do this and enjoy it at the same time. And it was amazing. It was like a breakthrough. And then I started doing things on my own that I never thought that I could do without a woman. I always needed a woman. So, okay. So you have a book out called Blooming with Self-Love. Your podcast is called Nourish Inside Out. And let's come to the current. You told me before we started recording that you were single. So are you dating? And because this is a dating podcast, and I'd be curious if you have any dating stories or dating advice or what you're finding, especially in Mexico. I'd be curious what's going on in Mexico. Are you on any dating apps, you know, et cetera?
You know, I'm not currently dating because I've been working on dating myself. And I say that because I'm not on any dating apps either. I've done the dating apps. That's where I met my ex-husband. I did Bumble for like a week here in Mexico, and I met some people on there, but I have a hard time sticking with it because I don't see those people as also very serious all the time. You know, it's like a swiping game. People, I heard this analogy or this like acronym, and this girl was saying that people get FOBO, fear of better options. And because of that, they're constantly swiping instead of genuinely getting to know somebody So I've been working on dating myself by taking myself out to get my favorite cup of coffee, go for a walk by myself. And I believe that once you are happy with yourself, then you'll be ready to meet somebody to add to that happiness that you're creating.
And I did that. And I literally took 2 years off. It's now going on 2.5 years since the relationship ended. And I, for the first year, I didn't date at all. All I did was work on myself and just learn how to live in my own skin. And now it's, I don't know, maybe 18 months later. And now I am ready to get back out because here's a great example. For years, even just 3 years ago and many years prior, and I tell this story a lot, but when I would brush my teeth in the mirror, in the bathroom, I would open the door so I didn't have to see myself because what I saw, I didn't like. Not necessarily the physical appearance, but I knew down inside that I was uncomfortable with myself. There was something about myself. Today, not only do I brush my teeth, but I will stand, I'll finish, I put my hair up. I have long hair, so I put it in a ponytail and I put my cream on my face. I do myself up. And before I walk out that door in the morning, I look at myself and say, dude, you look pretty good today. You know, even though I'm getting older and I'm starting to look it, but I don't care. It's how I feel about myself before I walk out that door and go into the world. And so I'm at that point where you are talking about being ready to, because if I can't love myself and be there and be happy in my own skin, I can't expect somebody else to do that for me. Yeah. So, but I'd be curious to, so you had, tell us a little bit about the, because I'm on Bumble. So you were on Bumble, you had some experiences that the people were not. Well, I like the idea of the FOBO, fear of
better options.
Yeah, that's, I think, a real thing because, well, let me ask you, as a woman, when you open up the app in the morning, I don't know how long ago it was, did you have like 15, 20, 30 guys like swiping on you? Was it overwhelming for you?
It can get overwhelming as well. You know, it's because it goes back to fear of better options, but also like I don't have the capacity to keep up with that many messages. It gets overwhelming because it's message here, message there. How many times can I tell somebody about my day in one day? It's like I cannot sit here and tell 15 people, yeah, I had a good day. I did this, I did that. And then if you don't fully communicate, then it sounds like you're not engaged or you're not interested. So that was also hard for me. But for me, it's been meeting people through mutual friends, or this might sound kind of cheesy, but Facebook groups have been really good for networking, especially traveling. You know, in Chicago, there's this thing called like a Chicago girls group, and it's a really active and a lot of girls make friends. I was looking for something similar in Mexico and I found one. So I've been able to make friends through there and meet mutual friends of theirs as well. So I honestly prefer meeting people in person.
Well, it's funny you said that. Number one, you're not the first person to tell me about Facebook and use Facebook. I was just talking to somebody. I recorded an interview a couple nights ago and they said the exact same thing. They said, throw all your dating apps out and just go on Facebook because all of the, there's what, 4 billion women or 4 billion people on Facebook and half of them are women. So your dating pool or your pool of potential matches are all in one place. You go on Bumble, you go on Hinge, you go on eHarmony or whatever. There's only 1 million or 3 million or whatever. And that's globally, that's worldwide. You know, Facebook, like you said, you can go to Mexico City and you could narrow it down to your geographical location. And that's what you did. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, Facebook has a dating app too.
Yeah.
They have one built.
Right, yeah. I met my ex-husband too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we won't talk about that
one. I like the groups more.
Yeah. So do you meet women or do you meet guys or if you do meet guys, are you just meeting as to have a male friend? How does that work?
So for the Facebook groups, it's been females, but also when I moved to Mexico, I needed to make friends. I needed to meet people. So I stayed in hostels for 2 months and I went from hostel to hostel, met a bunch of people. A lot of them were locals as well, because if the hostel was a party hostel, then like the locals will like go have a Friday or Saturday night there because they like to dance a lot, salsa and bachata. Yeah. So one of the hostels that I was staying at every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, salsa and bachata every night. So a lot of locals would come and I would meet a lot of people just by staying there as well. So through local, honestly, everything was in person.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds interesting. I've never heard of, I've been abroad. I've been to South America, but I was a lot younger then and I had a place to stay. So I never stayed in a hostel, but it sounds that would be a great place to meet people is at a hostel. And what they just like, I learned how to salsa a couple of years ago. And is that what they do? Is like I don't know if salsa is it Mexican or is it more Spanish? It is Mexican.
Yeah, it's Mexican and then a lot of bachata. So like, I think if you're traveling like abroad and you want to meet people, especially in Latino America, go sign up for a dance class. I've done a couple because even at the park, every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, they do salsa and bachata classes, and they're really great community events as well. So that's honestly how I've been meeting people, and it's more genuine that way because there's no fear of better options by swiping. It's if you can, connect right away or not.
So I just have a question. You said you're from Chicago. Were you born in Chicago?
Yes.
All right. Is your ancestry from Mexico? I mean, obviously you're Latina, correct?
No.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
My family's from Poland. I knew zero Spanish when I moved here.
I saw the name, and then when you told me you were in Mexico, I just assumed because you have a Latina look to you. For the audience, she looks a little Latina, but now that looking at your last name. By the way, I have my grandmother was from Poland, so I have a little Polish in me too. So interesting. So have you learned Spanish while have you been in Mexico? Are you learning it?
Yeah, so I knew absolutely nothing when I moved here. Like I remember my Uber driver was like, he knew some English. So he was like, you have to say por favor, like if you want to stay here. I was like, that's cool. What does that mean? I had no idea. So it's been quite the journey, but my roommate is from Mexico, so she teaches me a lot. And also meeting people through her mutual friends as well, because she's pretty social. So I always say, I always recommend if you're tired of the dating apps, if you're tired of meeting people online, try to find a new hobby, try to find a new community that you can associate with, because you never know who you're going to meet. It may not be somebody that you're going to be with forever, but you don't know who they can lead you to or what kind of connection it can make. So hobbies and community groups, for sure.
Yeah. I started playing pickleball. I've been a tennis player all my life. And last year I had hip surgery, my second time. So I have two artificial hips. And the doctor said to me, I'd like you to kind of pull back on tennis. So I reluctantly joined pickleball. And I have a tennis partner. And he and I started playing pickleball. And I became addicted overnight. It's just one of the most fun games, and forget the sport. It is a social event. If you go to the right places, the club that I go to, they take the weekends and they open it up and they call it social pickleball. So they'll put 12 people on two courts or you book yourself, but you don't really know anybody. And that's how you get to meet some people. And last week or 2 weeks ago, I met somebody there that I found attractive and we've been chatting it up. And I don't know where it's going to go, but I met two or three other people that were now friends. So yeah, I mean, just something simple like pickleball in the social setting, you know, don't grab a friend and go down and play pickleball. Go to where everybody's playing it. You know, do they play pickleball in Mexico? Is it a thing down there?
I think it's really popular in Chicago, but not here.
Not there. Okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So.
But also I know a city like Chicago or a city where it's like a community, maybe like New York or LA or any major city in the US, they do a lot of leagues too, like volleyball or like you said, pickleball. What's another one? Kickball. Those are also great events to go meet people. But also I do have some friends who talk about singles events. I think those are becoming more popular as well. I've seen in Seattle and Chicago, there's a lot of singles events too that you can meet in person.
Give me an example of a single event.
For example, I'll see an ad on Instagram of, hey, we're going to meet at this restaurant from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you're single and looking for a partner, come by to this restaurant and just connect. Or they do that here in Mexico too. They call it language exchange, but I don't really believe it's language exchange. It's probably body language exchange.
Yeah, because what language are you going to exchange in Mexico unless there are... Well, let me ask you, do you find other... So you're American, but you're living in Mexico, but you have a Polish background. But do you find other people in Mexico City from other countries around the world?
It's so diverse.
It is.
It's
okay.
So diverse. And I've met so many incredible people from all around the world. That's kind of why I like it, though. It reminds me of Chicago a little bit because of diversity. If you go to like a small town in Mexico, like Oaxaca or Guadalajara, then yeah, it's going to be mainly the Mexican culture. But Mexico City is really diverse.
When you said Guadalajara, you had a little bit of a Spanish accent there. You're picking it up.
Working on it.
You're doing well. You're doing well. Okay, Annetta. So we have a few minutes left. Do you want to, anything else you want to tell us? This is your time to, you want to come on the show and talk about your podcast, more about your book. Where can we find your book? What could somebody get out of buying your book and expect to, like if I picked up that book and read it, what would I get out of it? I guess it's the simplest way to ask that.
The biggest thing that I want people to get from my book is to get into the habit of speaking positive to themselves. Like we mentioned earlier, there's so many voices around us or inside us, and it's learning to control those unconscious thoughts and reprogramming them to be positive and reprogramming your mind to see the good in everything. So if I can help someone think more positively, then I'm happy. Because I know it's not easy, especially if you're in an environment where people keep bringing you down or keep not trying to knock you down. I know it's not easy, but if you are willing to work on yourself and to grow 1% more each day, even if you start saying one new positive affirmation every day, that's a well done, because you're growing 1% more than you did the day before. So that's the biggest thing. And when it comes to dating these days, I know it's scary. I know it's hard. I know there's a lot of trust issues out there.
Yeah.
But fall in love with yourself, be comfortable with who you are, and be comfortable to go out in public to do things by yourself. Because when you're comfortable to do things by yourself, you're going to be more independent and radiate confidence. So you'll attract better people. Get involved in a community, get involved with a new hobby. Just get involved in person so you don't have to be on the apps.
You mentioned the word trust. So let's assume that there's somebody listening that might have just left a relationship maybe 5 months ago, I don't know, half a year ago, and it was a abusive relationship. It doesn't matter how. It could have been verbally abusive. It could have been physically abusive. It could have been just they were cheated on, gaslit, whatever. And I recommend everybody do this. When you leave a relationship like that, you need to take 3 to 6 months to heal and move on. But even with that 3 to 6 months, when you start loving yourself again and you start dating again, those trust issues. So I only have the last relationship to go by, so I have to use it as an example. But, you know, for example, her phone was always down and it was always in a pocketbook and I could never, ever see the phone. It was always hidden. And when she took a phone call, she would step outside. So I knew something was up. So when I'm dating again, we'll go back to the person in the audience. How, if they're out dating and they see little idiosyncrasies, is the word I can think of their new dating partner, first, second, third, fourth, fifth date, they might get triggered because the person might text something and then put the phone in their pocket. And that would trigger me. What are they hiding? You know, how does one get past what happened in the past relationship and trust issues going forward?
One of the biggest things, I understand what if you're coming from an abusive relationship and you have trust issues with cheating and lying and gaslighting. I've heard it all, you know, same mm-hmm. thing. My ex, he even got like a screen protector from Amazon that was black, so no one from the sides can see. I've
I have that.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And he had that too, and I was never able to see his phone, never able to know his password, but he had to know my password. And I think once you understand that it has nothing to do with you and it's a self-reflection of who they are, it makes you feel better about it and going back out into the world with ease. Because the way they treated you, if they treated you poorly, it's not a reflection of you, it's a reflection of themselves. So something that also helped me was a positive affirmation by telling myself, I'm safe. If I would go on a date with somebody completely new, I would have to tell myself, it's safe. I'm not repeating the past. This is a new person, and just be open and really start reprogramming your mindset. Because just because you were abused in the past doesn't mean that it's going to continue with every single person.
I agree with you 120%, and that was very nicely put. And it can work that way. My only caveat with that would be some people like myself had a tendency to pick the same type of people over and over and over again. So I would attract the negative people, the people that were secretive. So if you believe in the law of attraction anxious attachment. But I would attract the avoidant attachment style people. And I don't know if this is your area of expertise, but how would you break the pattern of attracting the same person over and over again? Because that's what I did.
Learning to set boundaries with yourself. Write down a list of what you're willing to tolerate and what you're not willing to tolerate. I never heard that word until I decided I was going to file for divorce. And that was after I heard the word boundaries. Boundaries are not to hurt other people. They're to protect your peace. If somebody knows that you don't want to go out on a Friday night anymore and they keep pushing your buttons, hey, let's go out on Friday, they no longer respect your boundaries. And it's probably time to love them from a distance instead of keeping them close. So boundaries and communication. Really being clear on what you want, because I understand like everybody has a different attachment style. I used to be anxious attachment as well, but then I started to rewire my mindset and get comfortable in my own skin. And that has really helped me be more firm on my boundaries. I don't accept XYZ, so you're going to have to understand. And if you don't understand, that just shows you don't respect me and I'm going to have to move on.
I am so happy that you said boundaries, because that was something that I, like you, didn't even know the word existed. And I'm a couple of years older than you. I didn't even, I think I would know that at this age, but I didn't understand what it meant in a relationship. And when I attempted to establish boundaries, the person that I'm thinking of pushed back really hard and I backed down. And you can't, you cannot back to, so if you try to draw, it's simple as that. If you draw a line in the sand and they step over it, the boundary setting was something that I didn't know how to do. I don't know how much you picked up. And so when I would set a boundary, she would step over it. And I would then try to establish another boundary and she would step over it. I guess my question is, you said you have to love them from a distance or step. So what I'm thinking is if they're not going to respect your boundaries, you then have to I would disintegrate the relationship at some point. Those boundaries are so important.
Well, I actually experienced a very similar situation that I was letting so much shit slide under the rug and not say anything about it, to the point where we were so deep into the relationship that if I said anything that was a boundary, it was the same thing. He would tell me that I'm being rude, I'm being disrespectful. How can you say this? How can you do this? And all I was doing was trying to enforce some boundaries, and then I had to just forget about them. And when you're too deep into that relationship, that person's not going to like it if they're not used to it. So I always recommend communicate right up front. You know, it's okay to ask on a first and second date, what do you want? What are you looking for? What is your schedule like? Are we able to work with each other's schedules? Those are really important things to do on a first date as well. You're not going to scare away the right person. And if somebody is meant for you, they will figure it out with you. They will not try to counter you.
Agreed. And the interesting thing is that I have now learned to establish boundaries in work, because I never used to do that in the workplace. Even amongst my friends, I don't want to tell the story. All right, but even amongst friends, I've learned to establish boundaries. And I am looking forward to the next relationship that I get into, which I don't know when that will be, because I'm not dating anybody right now. But I would like to try establishing or setting those boundaries and sticking to them. What I did is I established them, but I didn't support them. When you establish a boundary, there's got to be concrete. You can't just put like a soft boundary and say, well, you give them the inch, they're going to take the mile, as the saying goes, right?
Completely.
So.
And that's such a really important thing. You know, I highly encourage anyone and everyone to set boundaries. If you don't know how, start writing down a list of what's important to you. Because what's important to you, if it's important to you, it should be important to somebody else. If you sticking to a healthy eating plan is important to you, the other person should support that and not offer you a cheeseburger every day. It's
right.
Teamwork. It's a partnership to help each other grow. It just goes back to taking a step back and reevaluating the situation. Is this person helping me grow, or are they knocking me down? And that's vice versa. My ex-husband and I, we were constantly bumping heads because we weren't adding genuine value to each other. I'm forever thankful for the way that he treated me, because it taught me a lot of resilience and how to pick myself back up every time after he knocked me down. But I wouldn't change it for the world, because that's where I was able to grow as an individual. So now I know what I want in my next relationship and what I don't want. And I think a lot of times people can feel a lot of shame around being in an unhealthy relationship by saying, oh, I can't believe I let this person treat me like this. I can't believe I let them do this to me. But you had to let them do that to you in order to learn. How will you know what boundaries are if you don't let someone step over your boundaries? How will you know if the stove is hot if you don't touch it when it's hot? It's all about learning on the journey. It's okay to make mistakes, but it's not okay to make a mistake and keep doing the same thing over and over while knowing it's not the right thing.
I love it. Beautifully said. And I agree 100%. Okay. We need to wrap it up because my microphone keeps cutting in and out, and I don't know why, but it keeps muting itself. So we're going to lose that.
You're muted.
Tell us where we could find your podcast and your book, and we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at aneta.walklaw. Substack is where I write. So Nourished Inside Out, and my podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you find your podcasts.
And you're on social media.
Yes, Instagram at aneta.walklaw.
Okay, before I lose my microphone again, Aneta, thank you so much for joining us today. And I wish you the best of luck in the whole life ahead of you. So enjoy that and enjoy Mexico City. And we'll talk again someday, okay?
It's been a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
I'd like to thank Aneta so much for stopping by all the way from Mexico. Actually, I would have loved to come down to Mexico to do the interview. And a quick apology to Aneta and the audience. My platform that I record for my guest is Riverside, and it's one of the most premier platforms. So you guys remember when COVID hit and everybody jumped on Zoom, like Zoom meetings and Zoom this? Well, podcasters were using Zoom, but there are other meeting places that are more professional and better for podcasting than Zoom. And there's a whole bunch of them out there. There's a half a dozen, and I'm not going to name them because I'm not getting paid for that. But I personally use Riverside, and it was recommended to me when I first started. In the early days, when it was simple, it was easy. Now Riverside is starting to get, I don't know if I want to turn this into a weekend rant. No, you know what? I'm not. If you're enjoying, I'm not. I'm going to save that for a weekend rant. So you guys know I do have another podcast called The Weekend Rant, which I can go out and vent on things like Riverside and Cultimatum podcast, which is doing very well. We're up to episode number 70, and it just dropped this week. So do take a ride over there and take a listen. We're doing great. We need some reviews if you could. And this podcast, if you'd like to give me a couple of reviews down below, Spotify and Apple, I would be happy to take those. And I think we'll leave it at there, folks. If you find this podcast helpful, maybe pass it along to a friend. And until next week, Anonymous Andrew saying ciao.